10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to just unload the problems of this world and focus, Lord, on the promises that you have given us. We just want to praise you and thank you for being our God. Now, Father, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit here in our hearts, Lord, as we learn from the scriptures. Father, for the kids going to children's church, I pray that you'd be with them. Father, it's such a tiny amount of time that we have to meet together to learn. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would use it to learn about the scripture and about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to children's church, you may do so at this time. And the rest of you can sit down. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm number 8. So Psalm, and say chapter 8, but it's not really a chapter, it's Psalm 8. I want to start by reading the entire psalm, which, lucky for you, is only 9 verses. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths over the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? Everybody needs recognition. We created in the image of God. We need a little recognition. We need some encouragement. We need some praise. Few make their need known quite as clearly as a little boy who said to his father, "Let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful." Human praise is something that we all need. Do we ever overdo it? I'm confident that in Hollywood they overdo it. But perhaps on a daily basis, we don't praise one another enough. Perhaps on a daily basis, we don't encourage each other as much as we should. However, whether we praise one another enough or not, there is someone who deserves more praise than we could ever give him. And that is God. Psalm 8 says that God is majestic and that his majesty is seen in the heavens. Verses 1 and 3 again say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. You see here, and maybe you've experienced this as well, that when you just look at the vastness of nature and you think, wow, God has provided all of this. He has made all of this. Nothing short of a miracle. Johannes Kepler was an astronomer who lived 1571 to 1630. You can look him up. He discovered a lot of really cool things. He was troubled, though, by one of his friends who denied the existence of God. And that friend took the view that the universe came into being of itself by mechanical methods. Kepler, in order to convince his friend, constructed a model of the sun and the planets circling around it. When his friend came into the observatory and saw the beautiful model, he exclaimed with delight, "How beautiful it is! Who made this?" And Kepler carelessly answered, "No one made it. It made itself." His friend looked at him and said, "Nonsense. Tell me, who made it?" Kepler replied, "Friend, you say that this little toy could not make itself. It is but a very weak imitation of the great universe, which I understand you believe did in fact make itself." It has been said that if you held your thumb up at arm's length, and we're outside and overnight, and if you have your eyes had the power of an astronomer's telescope, you would block out over 15 million stars from view with your thumb. Astronomers say that there are over 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and that there are probably billions of galaxies similar to ours. Two friends attended a seminar on astronomy where the scientists told many astonishing things about the universe. He told of planets from which the light started 1 million years ago. And though that light travels at a rate of 186,000 miles per second, that light is, after a million years, was only now reaching Earth. At the close of the lecture, one friend said to the other, "You know, after listening to all this, I feel pretty small tonight." The second friend said, "Not me. I feel pretty wonderful. As majestic as the universe is, God is more majestic, and he thinks of me."
Amen.
Not only is God's majesty seen in the heavens, it is also revealed through the proclamations of our children. Psalm number 2 says, "Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." A father of four boys came home to find them all engaged in something of a free-for-all. Addressing his remarks to the most aggressive of the four, he asked, "Butch, who started this?" Butch replied, "Well, it all started when Harold hit me back." Children can be ridiculously honest and quite blunt when telling things from their perspective. The New Living Translation clearly translates the meaning of this verse. It says, "You have taught," talking about God, "God has taught children and infants to tell of God's strength, silencing God's enemies and all who oppose it."
Amen.
Now, perhaps this is why the epistle of 1 John repeatedly refers to Christians as little children. Because maybe as adults, we learn to couch our words too carefully. Not that we shouldn't be polite, but sometimes we just need to, maybe I should say all the time, we as believers, we need to speak clearly and with confidence, proclaiming the truth in love. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14 says, "Then children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.'" In Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 and 16 says, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you not hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" Yeah. See, further education is a wonderful thing, but faith does not require education. It only requires belief. I think this is why children kind of have the inside track on the possibilities that God exists. I think they have a strong faith in just understanding that, you know, everything we see didn't just happen. The hand of God has moved through time. And I think that over time, our brains, our adult brains, can get so clouded by all the figuring and all the learning and all the education that we can forget what's obviously quite simple. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was
light.
It's not that tough. You say, "Well, wait a minute, he hadn't even created the sun yet." I know, very cool, huh? That just at his spoken word, all this came into existence. He made the world, all that's in it. The third thing that I want you to see this morning, as we look at this passage, is what's really probably the most obvious thing in the passage. But, you know, maybe it's a case of, you know, can't see the trees for the forest. Because, you know, when we think of, you know, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we, you know, if you're familiar with the song, Majesty, Worship Your Majesty, you're familiar with that. Well, sometimes we think that, you know, that it's by our speaking that we are acknowledging God's majesty. Or maybe even creating God's majesty. But that is not the case. Not the case at all. Because you see, God's majesty has been provided to us. That's what I want you to see, something that is so important in this passage. And yet the easiest things to see are sometimes the hardest. You know that 13 times when we read through this passage, through these 9 verses, there are 13 times that God says why he's majestic. Look at Psalm 8, 1 through 9 again. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Then he says, "You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of the babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, and still the enemy, and to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly being." I think the point's made there, you see, that it's not our perspective of God, It is the fact that God has revealed himself to us. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't know him. We wouldn't be able to understand him. If it weren't for God revealing himself to us, we'd be looking up at the stars thinking, wonder how that happened. Let me give that some thought. I bet once upon a time there was a Big Bang. I bet no one lit the fuse, but that it just happened. And all of a sudden, all this stuff just came into being. Where those stars come from in the first place? Oh, we don't know, but we're giving you an answer anyways. Because we fail to see who God is. Because we want to think that God is something like us. That he has been kind of created in our image, by our imaginations, for our purpose. When the truth is quite reversed. You see, when we change our perspective from us defining God to understanding that God defines himself, and we are truly just stuck with accepting that. When we allow that to happen, that's when our focus begins to expand. And the limitless volume of who God is takes us into a place where our options become limitless. When our focus is on what God can do, we will never run out of options. Let me say that again. When our focus is on what God can do, we never run out of options.
Amen.
Because what can God do? Anything. All things. So, if our focus is on him and what he can do, where could he take us? Anywhere. But if we focus, or when our focus falls to the things of this world, and we begin to see only the options that we seem to have around us right now, here in this world, do you know that failure is always our final destination? But what's the final destination of everything that's living on this planet? Death. That's the final destination. So no matter what you say or what you, you know, twists and turns, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to make $1 million, I'm going to do this. In the end, they're going to take your body and throw it in a hole in the ground. That's it. But when we focus on God, now whether he needs you to make $1 million or something else, I don't know. But when your focus is on God, when you reach the end, what happens? You just keep on going.
We actually start life.
We start life.
Amen.
Real life kicks in at that point.
He left the light on for us.
He left the light on for us? I hate to say you have to be 40 to get that, but... You know, I want to talk for a minute just on one way that we can trip ourselves up. And I want to talk about the group that I imagine we all know. It's called AA. And I want to say this, that it is a marvelous and successful organization. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm glad it's here. But I have a small beef with them. And my beef with them is that they count days. We've all heard it, some of us have said it. It's been, you know, I don't know, 385 days since I last had a drink. Or today is the fifth anniversary of my being sober. And that's great. And it's a good thing. But my problem with it is that I don't think that Jesus teaches us to be like that. See, I don't think that he taught us to count any farther than the number one.
Amen.
You see, today is the only day that we have. And today has plenty of worry for itself. So today, I want to be patient with the children. Today, I want to go without smoking. Or today, I want to be kind to my coworkers. Today, I want to be gentle with my parents. Because today, I want to walk with God. If we can just capitalize on the day, the one, the past will take care of itself, and the future will take care of itself. Because if I can just make it through today, if I can just find God's majesty today in this little slice, not that we don't need to worry about, you know, where our rent money's coming from, or how we're going to pay our electric bill, and on and on and on. Not that those things don't need to be concerns of ours. It's that when we let our focus be on God, we put blinders on that shield us from all the distractions and all the naysayers in this world. So when we're focused in like this, we're kind of stuck in a place where we're going to say, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We're going to ask questions like, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And the answer is going to become clear. I don't know why, but I do know that you are. And if God loves us that much, and he gave us today, we have to be focused on just being in his will today. If we let our minds wander to the place where we see ourselves as able and as arrived, if we see ourselves as, "Yeah, I haven't had a drink in 5 years. I pretty much got a handle on this thing." Or if we see ourselves as people who say, "I haven't lost my temper in 12 years, I'm safe." We are so opening the door for pride to step in. And when pride steps in, God steps out. And without his help, none of us are going to make it. But when the love of God steps into our hearts, his power will work within us to bring about change that we could never imagine. When God is our focus, that's when we can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now that does not mean that I can do everything, but it does mean that I can do anything that God wants me to. With that mind, it means that I'm no longer going to count what I can do, but I'm going to count what God does. And when I'm counting what he can do, one thing is all I can probably handle. Because if I can keep up with him, I can keep up in this world. Not because of my strength and my ability, but because of what he's done and who he is. Do you know him? Do you know the God who is so majestic, the God who can bring order out of chaos, the God who can take what looks like order and reveal to you that it is chaos. Do you know Him? Do you walk with Him? Do you know that He loves you? Do you know that the God that's up and above all things, do you know that He knows your name? That He knows where you live? That He knows the day you were born and the day you will die? Do you know that He knows what's going to happen every single day in between? Do you know that He is that Almighty? Do you understand that He is viewing us from a place that's not restricted by time and space? And He can see the whole of our lives? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Do you know that that God will never leave you? That He'll never abandon you? Do you know that that God gave everything that He had so that you could find heaven? Did you know that? Rest on those ideas, and you will find a peace in your heart, a satisfaction in your day. And that when things start to fall in all around you, you're just going to be like, praise the Lord. Somebody will ask, why are you praising the Lord? Things are so difficult. I have no idea why I'm praising the Lord. I'm just praising the Lord.
Amen.
Because somehow, some way, this is going to turn out for His benefit.
Amen.
You say, well, what about me? What about me? I'll tell you about me. I once was lost in sin. And then Jesus took me in. He has made all the difference. A lot of the frustrations that we have in this life, me being the chief we here, a lot of the frustrations that I have in this life, and I think you have too, is because we're like, I think there's a door at the end of this hallway. So I'm going to run full blast. And if it's not there, I'm going to hit the wall. And we take off with no idea, only a thought that there's going to be a door there. And so when we hit it, and it's not a door, we come away beat, battered, and bruised. We come away abused and broken. We come away ill and unhealthy. We come away discouraged, all because we never stopped in the first place and asked God, is there a door at the end of this hallway? Before I take off running, Lord, I need to know. Before I jump into this marriage, I need to know. Before I decide to have children, Lord, I need to know. Before I start smoking, before I start drinking, before I start buying a car, or buying a house, or building friendships, Lord, is there a door at the end of the hall? But hey, who knows? There might be a door there. Run hard, run fast. It'll only hurt for the rest of your life. Let's stand together. This communion, we need, Lord, to come before You. And we need to acknowledge that sometimes, Lord, we think we're pretty special. And we think we know. And we think we're marvelous and wonderful and all that stuff. And the truth is, Father, any good thing in us has been put there by You. And anything, Lord, that we have generated ourselves is going to end up causing us harm in the end. Father, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts, Lord, that are soft to our own selves, that we might see truly, Lord, who we are, that we might be encouraged when we need encouragement, and that we might receive the correction when we need correcting. Father, as we prepare our hearts to take this communion, we need to start by asking ourselves, if there is any just blatant sin that we're engaged in. And if so, Father, I pray that you would help us to see it. And then, Lord, help us to stop it. But the truth is, Father, without your help, we'll never make it. So, Lord, we need you. And when we take this communion, Father, we remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We remember that his body was broken for us, that he lived and that he died, Lord, and that he was a sacrifice for our sin. And that if we don't ingest him, both spiritually and here literally, we, Lord, are drifting from you. And we can't have that. So, Father, help us to cling to Jesus and trust in him. Father, when we drink from this little cup, I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember that the life is in the blood. And as we take the life of Jesus, we take the eternal life. The one that is truly the sweet. That's by and by. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and if the receive this bread, help us to remember that it is what Jesus gave us, and it was his words that asked us to continue to take it. In his name we pray. Amen. Didn't have the luxury of a morphine drip or anything to ease his pain. Matter of fact, the purpose of crucifixion was to cause as much pain as possible. Imagine for a moment what it would be like to have those horrible old blacksmith-made spikes driven into your arms, your hands. Have your feet pulled together and to have a spike driven through your ankles and your feet. And to raise you up on a cross, suffer until every last ounce of breath was squeezed out of you. Pain from the torture. As often as you take this, take it in remembrance that his body was broken. For us. Sacrificed on the cross for our sin. Take this in remembrance of him. Father, we thank you for this bread as it moves through our bodies, Lord. Let us move through the body of Christ. Remember that you've already taken the bread. Bread which represents the body of Jesus. Destroyed on the cross. Then they took him and they laid him in the tomb. My mind goes back into Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the fourth chapter. I believe it's fourth. the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, the wicked brother, killed Abel. God came to visit Cain and he said, Cain, where's your brother? His blood cries out to me from the ground. So we get a little picture of life and blood. Blood that cried out from the ground. Abel's blood. Abel's blood, like your blood and my blood, the blood of a man. This is the blood of Jesus, which was poured out to remove the sin of us. And so we take this in remembrance of Jesus. The bread we take remembering that he died on the cross, but the cup we take remembering that the stone rolled away, that his life returned to him, that he came back more powerful and unimaginable, and that God's majesty was revealed in Jesus, and it's revealed in this cup, and he calls all of us to take it in remembrance of him. So take this blood, this juice, take it in remembrance of what he has done for you, what he has done for us. As often as you take it in remembrance of him. So take it neat and remember that Jesus is a part of us and that we are a part of him. Who is marvelous and wonderful. This God chooses us in our individuality and our independence to love and to cherish. It's so important that we pass that on to one another, remembering to love one another just as we are. Horns, warts, and everything. Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. I pray, Father, that you guide our steps this week. Help us to remember that you are the one who's created all things. And you are the one, Lord, who's made the path for us to journey. Help us, Father, to walk that path. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Give you a great, great week.